Intervju Radija Študent.
Jennifer Lynn Moron. Jennifer Lynn Moron išče načine upora proti podatkovnemu suženstvu, prizadevanjem korporacij, da bi še bolje nadzorovala naša dejanja in monetizirala naše podatkovne sledi. Njena misija je ugotoviti vrednost posameznika v digitalni ekonomiji, ki živi od pogodbe s hudičem na socialnih omrežjih in aplikacijah ter podatkovnih sledi, ki jih generirajo. V spogledovanju s tradicijo subverzivne afirmacije je v Ameriki rojena umetnica Jennifer Lynn Moron v Delawareu leta 2014 ustanovila korporacijo Jennifer Lynn Moron Incorporated. Zdaj je ustanoviteljica, generalna direktorica, delničarka in izdelek svojega podjetja Jennifer Lynn Moron Incorporated. Kot pravi, tako je vstopila v ekstremni kapitalizem, posledično prevzela nadzor nad svojimi podatki, kar ji omogoča subverzijo produkcijskega načina. Umetnico smo ulovili pred predavanjem v projektnem prostoru Axiome, kjer bodo njen znoj in solze promovirani in naprodaj do 16. junija.
Do you now, after incorporating yourself, do you perceive yourself as data master or data slave?
It's kind of between a rock and a hard place. It's aware of, like, somehow in control of it, and with the corporate container, feeling like I have the ability to control it, but the way that everything is set up, it's hard to approach the companies because you're not dealing with anybody often. So maybe if I go to a doctor, I can try and put forth my terms of what they can do with information instead of always signing theirs. But with companies, you just end up having to, that are online, you just end up having to not use their services. So, and there's nobody to go and kind of complain against that too, except through litigation now and things like that, processing copyright infringements and things. But if you use their services, then you can't do any of that anyway. So it's still in a form enslaved as a feeling, because where to change it involves a lot of lawyers, in a way.
Mm-hmm. And just one of the questions I want to ask you, and it's connected to this, is like, Jared Cohen and Google Alphabet chairperson Eric Schmidt write on the first page of their book, "The online world is not truly bound by terrestrial laws. It's the world's largest ungoverned space." And yeah, in this way, I think you showed this difference between, it's like funny because you actually work with the digital economy, and on the other hand, the digital economy is, this is one of the things you show, is that digital economy is like different, it's just like not bound by terrestrial laws, and then on the other hand, the tactics you can use, and the text that show what is wrong with this economy currently, mm-hmm. is like, it shows, but then what's next, what comes next, is the question. But then what is, I'd like to hear from you, what is DOME or database? I'm not sure whether I say it correctly, but...
No, you didn't. So DOME was, there is this application that I started to have built. It's kind of in the process again, just keeping up with how to get all the data. So it's something that sits on my phone, on my computer. It's basically, there's a database on a server, and then there's the interfaces and applications through the devices we all might use that would take the information and store it there as well. So you have a copy that goes to your server, and that in a way copyrights the data. and then it goes to wherever else it needs to go. So you have this storage, and it's also a place where you could see everything, all the data, and like a filing cabinet of sorts. But then also the next iterations are the analysis. So, and that's like the protocols I want to apply, or the variables are not just like how much money you're making or what you're spending and the reality of what you do, but also the impacts of what you do. So what decision you made, how does that influence somebody or a town in another part of the world?
About the platform, is this also in development?
Not yet. That is more of a concept that I want people to think about. What could be, so if everybody did, either was granted or took, claimed control of their information and ownership of it, and were to think of it more like a currency, that a cooperative data broker as would be the platform. That's why I just called it the platform, to not try and impose too many thoughts on it, but to think about cutting out the middleman and saying there could be maybe a social structure for people. Either leave it up to the companies to actually pay their taxes and pay into maybe like a universal basic income system, or to have a cooperative data broker that people say, okay, I'll put this information in here. So that could be connected to your server, or the servers are there. And then you're a member or a shareholder, depending on the structure of that. So you get profits, or it's like profit sharing or dividends, and it trades the data in the market that exists on your behalf. So that is something I'd like people to think about as an option, that it doesn't have to be set up this way. If there was some political decision to make data people's, the people that create it, basically. Mm-hmm. There's.
So the data is sold in packages, starting with character, demographic, lifestyle, digital identity, financial health, and overall the whole package, mm-hmm. like from the cheapest one to the most expensive. Mm-hmm. How did you delimit packages and set prices? Did you determine the price according to demand, or?
The price is determined according to a few things. So demand is one, the actual price it costs to actually get that information. And how much, when I looked on the markets for certain information, like a name is 1 cent, but your credit card criminal record is $50. So there's different prices that are paid for now. And then also for some, like especially the health, which is the most expensive, is the risk associated with like the insurance number, and just in America that can change the cost you pay for health insurance and things like that. So actually releasing that information has bigger risks, or the identity one as well, because those are, and financial, those are aspects that if somebody were to use them in a way that was fraudulent, which in your terms and services you can say that's not allowed, and then it causes to either go into expensive court cases or following what happens with the information. So that's also a figure in the cost.
Have your donated plasma or X lent uterus or gave urine? These other biological services you offer, is this often offered? Because I read that you found that there is demand for urine by people that want to exchange it for the
short test, yeah. And stuff like that. Yeah, there actually is a real market. I didn't make any, they were all by looking at what people do with their body for money. And there are a lot of people that actually go regularly, like as a job, for donating plasma blood is less money. In some countries you can't do it, you can't be paid for it. There's a lot of women that donate their eggs and pay for a university education in America with that, or buy a house. I mean, it's, but it's a, with the blood and plasma, there's also the aspect of what these institutions can do with that. Often it might not go to another person in need. They often sell it for research. So there's a whole market further into that product as well that I wanted to draw attention to. But I haven't, because I haven't sold any of it yet. But even if you go online, there's either synthetic urine or real urine, or people are often trying to get around. So it's just drawing attention to these fringe economies, which I wonder if they're going to become more pervasive as the wealth gap increases, because I think that plays a big part.
Do you, or are you considering, like, choosing the, who you sell your body parts to? Or do you think this is like, okay, you're showing the issues, you're showing how the economy works, mm-hmm. but do you also think like, okay, I'm not accepting every customer, or as a corporation, that usually corporations don't really care what kind
yeah,
of customers
that's what,
they have? So.
Yeah, I would probably sell it. It's not ready for sale yet, just because of the legal aspects of it. But that's a thought I've considered many times, and it, at the moment, I'm the main shareholder, so it's up to me. So I prefer to sell as an individual, where I know where it's going. But yeah, as a corporation, it would be unit by unit and available to anybody.
What brings you most profit?
At the moment, it's been sharing information in the form of talks and just spreading this idea. The data has brought in some revenue, but it's not, I haven't been so strong on the marketing side of things.
So you explore data exploitation carried on by corporations and governments. What I was reading Shoshana Zuboff, she calls it surveillance capitalism. In her words, the business model of surveillance capitalism is monetizing human beings, also known as slavery. You say that your corporate living does not only show what is valuable to you, but how and why you are valued by others. And also, I found this on my website. People can go to ask to use me. This also helps you determine your most crucial and unique assets. And what did you realize during this project? What are your most valuable assets? You said before talks.
Well, again, that's the part of the project that still has to be built to really, you know, also with analyzing how I'm used and how it fits into, like, the environment or social equity and things like that. So those are things that I'll be working on with accountants to, like, add extra rows to the balance sheet to say it's not just about monetary figures, but also, like, something I maybe do for somebody else. How does that come in to be accounted for mm-hmm. on a balance sheet? So I guess my most valuable asset, instead, not bringing in money, but in on a social level, has been time.
What are the benefits of being a corporate self in the US versus being a person? Because you said that corporate self has even more rights and benefits than you as an individual.
Well, so one is about the information. Corporations can, even in Europe, with the new, what is it called? The
data protection.
Yeah, the derivative. That's only for companies. It's only, like, if you have a database as a company, can you protect that information as yours, not individuals. So that's one way. And then also intellectual property, also as an artist. As a company or as a corporation, you can say that I have trade secrets that are ideas, and they might just be in your writing or your correspondences or things like that. Whereas an individual, especially as an artist, you cannot copyright ideas or protect them in any way. But as a company, you can. Then there's also, you know, securing my name, maybe through trademarks and the intellectual property aspect of corporate containers grants a lot more protection than individuals. Also, if you get sued as an individual, you are sued as that individual. Rather, as a corporation, the corporation is a separate entity in that situation, and all the shareholders and the people running the company never have any responsibility to face, because you can't blame one person. And you can blame the corporation, but the corporation's not going to go to jail. And that's a big problem, I think, now. Often the people causing the problems get away with it. And then another thing is bankruptcy. It's become harder and harder for individuals to claim bankruptcy, but a corporation can still. Trump is a good example. Can file for bankruptcy over and over again without any, and walk away. The people that made it bankrupt just walk away. So it's not that I intend to do those things, but it's, those are just some of the advantages that corporations are granted. And also a lot of, in a way, just claiming everything that you have as property, and that you're kind of, as a corporation, in a government like the US, you're exempt from any social responsibility. Your main goal is to just make profit for the shareholders. And as individuals, you have to play a very different role. I prefer corporations were socially accountable and environmentally accountable on many levels. So in a way, it's like a, stick it to that system, maybe try and step into that place and appropriate it in a way and change it. Like, it's an interesting container to use, and can it be used in different ways eventually?
So the commodities you produce and promote, and also like can see them at Axioma, are imperial diamonds made out of your hair, evolutionary fragrances, lure and repel, and hormone therapy treatment called Rejuvenix.
Yeah.
So those are other products besides your data and your...
Well, those, assets. I mean, in a way, data is everything. So they are information. So the diamond is my hair turned into carbon, so brought back to a base material and then transformed into something else. And the Rejuvenix is hormones from my urine extracted and then turned into a product that is on the market now. Or a DHEA hormone therapy cream is something you can buy over the counter, only in America, everywhere else it's banned. So it was to also comment on what can be done in different countries. And then the perfume is based on the molecular makeup of my body at different times, and it's very linked with identity as well. So, but I also wanted to draw attention to the absurdity of all of these markets or these products, beauty products, perfumes, and health products like that, that are just over the counter and maybe don't really do anything, and the diamond industry, which are all ones that highly skew the value of the products, and they often manipulate the markets. Like perfume, it's only maybe, the liquid is maybe $4 normally, and the rest just goes to the celebrity that's going to endorse it, the packaging, things like that. And diamonds, De Beers, the first and biggest diamond company, recently they just dumped loads of diamonds in the ocean to manipulate the market price. So things like that. But otherwise, I wanted to show that information can start as one thing, and it can be Because it's very abstract to think of data as something intangible, but it could be tangible. And that even if it starts out as intangible, it can be transformed into something real or just something else that is of value to a different customer. Mm-hmm. So it was trying to express that as well.
Did you have many customers so far? Like, is it mostly that people buy your data, or the companies buy your data, or is it like you just share the idea with people?
At the moment, it's still in... Well, the products are still in development. So I did some tests with the perfume and have gotten some results, but as far as stabilizing it, I need to work on that a bit more. But it's still, I would say, in a research and development stage. So the data you could also buy, the store is going to be up again. It came down, or it is up. It's going to be expanded to be so that all the information is available individually as well, not just in these expensive packages. But then the products are still in development.
How does embracing extreme capitalism feel like?
I think things move so fast now. That it's at the time when I started this a few years ago, it was meant to be a warning, and I just feel like we're more and more in it, and it's become like that, and everybody has to brand themselves, and everybody has to become an entrepreneur or treat themselves like a business without maybe actually starting a business in the way that I've done. So it's almost like everybody else is embracing a not so different form of this. And for me, it can be daunting sometimes because it can be a bit confusing. I have the unfortunate combination of being an optimist, a skeptic, and pretty socially minded. So, yeah, I would say that what started out and still is something that is meant to be against this kind of progression of capitalism. Is it hard? I don't know. It's kind of frustrating.
How do people react to your project? Like, do you see maybe a difference between audiences in art galleries or like conferences, or people like learning about you online? Do you see differences in like...
Well, of course. So some of the audiences have been tech people, and they take it a little bit more face value. Like, they think it's serious in a way, or it is serious, but they think it's, like I was just saying, this is the future and we support doing this. Whereas some, it might be more like, I was just at a festival in Eindhoven called Economia with Balton Laboratories, and there everybody was more like, what is the next economy, and that data is a valuable thing and this should be something that should be decided what to do. So I have different responses, and then I also receive emails or correspondences from people, say like in the financial industry because they read, or in the medical industry, because they read about it in somebody's book. Like, one is The Patient Will See You Now, and the other is called The Platform Revolution, where they put it in there, I think, as like people might start realizing the value that their data has. So, as a company, you should do this. Saying, in a way, to suppress the knowledge of the public that this is a valuable resource. So, and then those people contact me to try and push this towards a reality for everybody. So I guess it all depends on who's coming from what industry, in a way.
korporacijo se je pogovarjala Nika Mahnič. Intervju Radija Študent.